So what's up, it's your man Sam, host of Just Talk With Sam podcast. Just Talk With Sam podcast. We got a great one for you guys today. We get a little chat with my girl, Salima Karoma, director of Bad Rap, is coming out this Tuesday, VOD in all formats, whether that be iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, whatever. And we're going to talk about this movie, man. Like, when you sit down and you talk about Asian rappers, the first person I can think of is Jin. The only person I can think of is Jin. So, we get a chance to sit down with Salima. Excuse me, I don't want to mess up her name this early in the show. We get a chance to talk with her, and we get into the process of this film and all the things that goes into it. Now, before we do all of that, we got to pay some bills around here. I want to thank all the people who went to SamShowNation.com, your home for everything related to Just Talking With Sam podcast. Yeah, Just Talking With Sam podcast. It's right there at Sam Show Nation. Right there on the home and current promotions page, you can hit that donate button. By hitting that donate button and giving whatever you think you should, it keeps the podcast free. I want to thank everyone who's able to do that, because that is a major way of when we sit down and talk to guests and when we do everything we got to do with this podcast. That helps a lot. Just knocking down server costs so you guys can even hear this podcast. That does a lot. So please hit the donate button on the homepage, your current promotions page. Give whatever makes you feel like a good person. But hey, maybe you want a little bang for your buck. No problem. You want to show off your love when you go out. You can always go to SamShowNation.com. You can hit that store link and you can get whatever Just Talking With Sam swag is there right there. You can go get whatever, your t-shirts, your hats, stickers, whatever you need to show your love to Just Talking With Sam podcast as you live your life. We got it available for you there. You can go off and you can do major things and, you know, show the world that, hey, I listened to this show. It's a good show. Maybe you should listen to it too. Also, the podcast itself can be found at SamShowNation.com. You can listen to all the podcasts right there on our homepage, right there at the website, or however you listen to podcasts. We're currently on Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, good old RSS, iTunes. It's all right there, all ready to go. Right there, you can listen to the Just Talk With Sam podcast. We got a few sponsors this week, and we want to get into it so we can talk about all the things happening in the world right now, as well as have a conversation with our pal, Salima Karoma, director of the film Bad Rap. Look, first sponsor goes to the good folks at NBAStore.com. The playoffs are going on, and you can root for your favorite team. There's only a few left if you're watching these playoffs, and you can go ahead and check it out. Whether it be the Warriors, the Spurs, the Celtics, or the Cleveland Cavaliers, we got you covered. And we're offering, if you go through SamShowNation.com on the current promotion page, you put in the offer code NBA50 at checkout. You could get free shipping on all orders over $50. Or maybe you're not spending over $50. You could put in the offer code NBAFS, and that is free shipping on all U.S. orders. Get it sent directly to your house, and you can rep whatever team you're repping while the NBA playoffs are still going on. Free shipping. That's NBAFS at checkout. Or free shipping on orders on any order over $50. That's promo code NBA50 at checkout. There are some exclusions may apply. Go to NBAStore.com via SamShowNation.com. The next sponsors, the good folks at Walmart. Look, it's around that time. We're celebrating our grads. You can give them the greatest gifts for their next adventure. By doing that, go to SamShowNation.com. Right on the current promotion page, you can click that Walmart link and you can celebrate your grads. You can give them anything they need. Look, I've graduated a few times in my life. There's some things I'm going to need for the next chapter in my life. So you can get them something that says thank you, something that says you appreciate it, a photo, some jewelry, some watches, electronics, maybe some party supplies. You want to throw that grad in your life a good party, you can do that. The only thing we ask you to do is go to SamShowNation.com, click that Walmart link, and get them something that you know they're going to need for the next chapter in their life or to celebrate the things they've done. So please hit that link and you can get free shipping, or excuse me, free two-day shipping right there from Walmart, or you can pick it up from your friendly neighborhood Walmart by clicking that link at checkout. You can pick out the link of the closest Walmart store to them, to you, and you can get it sent to your house right there with the free shipping, or you can go pick it up at your friendly neighborhood Walmart. So please, Walmart.com via SamShowNation.com, and last, certainly not least, the granddaddy of them all, Amazon.com. One person I know that will appreciate this, our guest, Ms. Selena Caroma, the director of Bad Rap. If you go to Amazon.com, you click that link at SamShowNation.com right there, click the banner on the homepage, current promotions page, and in that button, you put the words Bad Rap. If you listen to the sound of my voice, you can get it right there on Amazon. You can get it, you can get the documentary. You can go ahead and get the Blu-ray or DVD, however you want to watch Bad Rap. And I put my name on it on this. I talk about this. I like this documentary. It's such a great documentary. And it's ready for video on demand. So please go to Amazon via SamShowNation.com. Click the banners on the homepage and current promotions page. Put in the offer code. Or excuse me. Put in the order. Bad Rap. You can grab that DVD. You'll see a great documentary on rap music as it is related to Asian people in rap. So here's what we're going to do. Getting around that time, we're about to jump in there. That's enough of our sponsors right now. We're going to reset these mics, and me and Tasha are going to get back. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff that's happened in the news today. We're going to talk to our buddy, Ms. Selena Caroma, about her documentary, Bad Rap. See you in about 90 seconds. This is Just Talk with Sam podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam podcast. Just put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this till like right now. Seriously.
Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all just listen, we never write this out.
Alright, we back for another episode of Just Talk with Sam podcast with a great documentarian, my buddy, Ms. Selena Caroma, the director, the creator, the editor, cinematographer, pretty much everything of the film.
Did she not have a job in this one?
Bad Rap. She doing it.
Hello, everybody. I'm here.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah. Tasha's here, too. But let's get in. Hold on.
Talking with Sam and Tasha.
Yeah. But Bad Rap will be out everywhere on VOD this Tuesday, May 23rd. You get on iTunes. You get on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Google Play. Vudu.
No Hulu? No Hulu and Vudu?
I know Vudu. Vudu, you get it on Vudu.
Oh.
And proud sponsor of the podcast, one more time for your mind, Amazon.
It's one of my favorites.
Actually,
websites.
We are on all of these platforms as well, except Vudu. We're not on Vudu.
Okay. Well,
we should be, though.
You should be.
Hey.
Want to make a phone call?
Yeah, let's do that. Before we get into all things about the great film, Bad Rap,
mm-hmm.
And I really want to talk to Selena about a lot of this stuff because I watched this film and it changed my mind on some stuff. It affirmed some of the stuff I believed on other stuff. Let's talk about what's happening in news today.
Oh, Lord.
We got some newsworthy things happen. All right, look. I want to talk about this because there's no real way to do it, but my man Cosby gave his first interview in over 2 years.
Who did he talk to?
What happened 2 years ago? Why did he stop giving interviews?
Really? Really? We're gonna go there.
No, but he talked to, was it, fellow Philadelphia reporter. I usually have that. That's usually your job when you looking this stuff up.
You know, when it comes to him, I'm just like,
all right,
eh.
All right, with Kaz. But it was him sort of kind of telling his side of the story. I think
he should tread lightly at this
personally
point.
I don't think he should have said shit, because
that's what I'm saying.
You don't talk before a court case at all.
Exactly, because you can, what's the word I'm looking for? Incriminate.
They could just twist your words.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said this, and you kind of admitted to this, and next thing you know, they're going to have an old man in the case.
But real talk, I did listen to it. It was a radio interview. It was not like he told on himself. It was, I don't want to say orchestrated, but it was almost like somebody was in the room like, we ain't talking
don't
about
say that.
And it was interesting because he had his daughter.
Thank you, I'll take that.
He had his daughter talking to him.
He like had a his daughter was playing the role of a handler.
It was...
She was a handler.
Yeah, but it was Kaz still. And it was... You know,
was he cracking any jokes?
He did. He did kick out a few jokes, but they were Cosby jokes. They were like very safe jokes. It's not like,
what's the joke about the therapist?
Rapist. Yeah, but like, see, Cosby 2 years ago. I can't timestamp this.
He's a rapist.
2 years ago.
He's a rapist.
He did kind of try to spin and make it funny.
You can't.
He tried. Honestly,
because it's so many feminists and women's rights activists and all that stuff. You cannot make date rape.
How we did it?
Any type of rape.
It was clever.
Okay. Do you want to repeat the joke?
The joke was this.
Do you have it written down?
No. It was just a very thing. He was still trying to remember. He kept doing the stand-up tour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying what he did was right. I would have made that play. Don't get me in that hot water. Okay. I'm just saying, like, he's trying his best to get past it. And a lady bought a drink from the bar at whatever club he was performing at, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, you don't want to put that around me. You heard what I do.
That's just in bad taste, Bill.
But
that's why he got a
hold on, wait. That was at when it was happening. He got a, like, comment.
Sam, this is why
you could call it too soon or what have you.
You know, like, when I told, like, at a certain point, like, so people won't make mistakes. They have publicists and basically, they're a handler.
That was the Bill who thought it was going to, like, go away.
Blow
it was,
over because he didn't think people had evidence of him playing the rapist.
He's been, like, in his case, and I'm saying allegedly, he ain't getting me in no hot water.
Mm.
In his mind, I believe, how many disclaimers do I got to put up?
A lot.
If I've been allegedly getting away with this...
You know you did it. He did...
If I've been allegedly getting away with this for 40, 50 years...
Sam. He did it. He probably didn't think these ladies had no evidence that they was going to pull out against him.
I understand it.
I don't.
All right, look.
It's just a sick
but this goes back
mindset.
To this goes back to the eternal question we ask that we have asked every time we brought this up, or people like him: can you separate the artist from the art? Can you separate?
No, not in this.
I think
nobody's going to do it. Nobody's going to separate. Nobody's going to forget.
Well, you got to think. We separated with R. Kelly big time.
Okay.
We separated
because we were so shocked and appalled that R. Kelly was.
We saw the tape. It was clearly him.
They said it was his brother. And
bullshit. I'm looking at the only thing he didn't do was say his social security number.
She's like, I gotta pee. He's like, nah, going to pee right there. He could at least remember the mask. What video song was that? He had the white mask on.
It was.
was that Step in the Name of Love?
Yeah, but it,
he should have wore that mask in that video.
My point is, it was all fucked up. But where do we separate it? What? Why do we give R. Kelly a pass?
Why do we give Michael Jackson a pass?
Once again, separate the art from the artist. Why do we get, like...
You know who didn't get a pass?
Who?
That dang on Subway Jared.
See, Subway Jared thought he was famous. Yeah. No, Subway Jared was just the guy. Like, you gotta be super famous to even consider.
Now he on like, cell block 10 fighting with his virginity.
Cosby was famous enough to get... Alright, here's what we gonna do.
What?
We just gonna shift the subject because this is gonna be an all Cosby podcast.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Let's just shift the topic.
Please.
Because Cosby was... Alright, but look. This is... I've been trying to play around with this and not talk about this, but Jesus. The Grim Reaper was busy this week. Like...
He stayed ready.
He, man. Alright. Started off with my man Powers Booth.
I'm not familiar
like,
with
him. Alright, pull up his name. You got the tablet in front of
okay.
you. Okay. Like, we... I want... Normally, I'm operating the screen, but you...
Here. I have my tablet.
Either way. Powers Booth... passed away, and Powers Booth, I don't think we're going to have a bad guy in a movie for the next... Powers Booth was pretty much the bad guy in every movie, TV show. He was like one of those cats. Whatever the fuck Clifton Powell was on, he was the white Clifton Powell. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Deadwood, Scandal. If you needed... like a person to hate, he was the guy.
Okay.
You see it? You put it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it on the screen. Okay, I see it. I'm looking at it now. See him?
Yeah.
He's the pretty much the bad guy and everything. You're looking at him like, oh yeah, I know that guy.
Kinda, but not really.
But you know his face.
It's familiar.
Great character actor. He's been doing this forever, and he was a villain in every goddamn role I've ever seen him in. I have done the homework. I've done
the
research.
He was in MacGruber. Was he?
He was the bad guy in MacGruber. Yes. Okay. He was every goddamn thing. He was the villain, and that only makes me think he's either the greatest actor ever.
He's like the nicest person,
or he's probably like one of the nicest motherfuckers you ever meet. Speaking of the Grim Reaper, and we talked about legacies a little bit with Bill Cosby, Roger Ailes.
That's the dude from Fox.
Here's the shit what I'm getting at. When you don't ruin your legacy at the end. Roger Ailes was one of those cats.
Didn't he get wrapped up in scandals?
Oh, towards the end. And it was ostracized. Sexual harassment.
All that.
But what he should be known... Oh, excuse me. The history books will point to him as the guy who started Fox and gave us Married with Children and The Simpsons and launched the Fox brand as a whole, which he did. And
okay.
it was shit. You know, we fucks with Fox.
Yeah, a lot of shows we like.
I mean, just as a whole, a lot, just like, the Simpsons is it's an institution. Married with Children, that whole run, Living Color, like, when it was really where he broke down, like, racial stereotypes and racial boundaries and think a network, started from the bottom.
Yeah.
On a network. But what I mean is, a legacy, he's always going to have an asterisk because how he got down at the end. He thought he was above the law.
A lot of
sexual harassment and a lot of suits and wrongful terminations. The reason I say the history books will remember him that way because... When you get written in legacy, nobody put that shit on you. The only time people put that shit on you, where you're a horrible person, you gotta kill a kid. Whenever you kill a kid, it's on.
Wow.
Ironically enough, like I follow a lot of U.S. history and president.
I've noticed.
If you kill a kid, you get a monument.
What?
Andrew Jackson killed a lot of fucking kids.
Why
monument.
Why was it just killing kids?
It was... Alright, short version is this.
I'm listening.
If you was like a powerful person or a politician or war leader or war... You killed the people who was fucking with you. And you always killed their kids. Because you don't want to be looking over your shoulder in 20 years when this motherfucker grow up.
Sheesh.
That, I'm sorry if it's dark, but that's just how they get down. Exactly. Every mind you met, you've ever seen, kid killer. Hitler, kid killer.
But Martin Luther King has a monument.
Martin Luther King, he killed kids.
How? What kids?
Not literally killed kids. He poisoned the minds of the kids of the rapists that he was, racist. Races that he just changed his mind. He was like, oh, remember, those revolutions was led by young people.
True.
Kill a kid, mentally or physically. You kill the kid, you get a monument. You heard it here first. What?
Okay, Joe Lewis.
Oh, do you know how many fucking kids he fucking ruined?
I'm just lame.
You just watching. You just watching your dad get the shit kicked out of you by this big black man. Oh yeah, you're like, hey, baby, black people are strong. Baby, they're strong. Just anybody got a monument, you gotta kill a kid first.
Something is mentally wrong with you.
That, you gotta ruin their mind. You got mentally or physically, man.
You got issues.
It's like, Roger Ailes, man.
Like, I think you know that you have issues.
Maybe how I'm putting it is fucked up.
It is.
But the
delivery sucks.
Look, like every U.S. president, with the exception of the current one, that we know about, may or may not have killed a kid.
I'm sure he has.
And I love Obama, but those fucking drone strikes, I'm pretty sure he did.
Does Obama have a monument?
Huh?
Does Obama have a monument?
Shit. Not only does he have...
I'm sure he will.
I'm sure he will. I know I bought that fucking golden plate because I was up 4:30 in the morning, saw the infomercial, and had an extra $20. Wait a
minute. Whose grandmother are you?
Look.
Because all the old...
You know the real. Black I've been black for a while. And...
I noticed.
You can only have several monuments in your house. You got to have a picture of Obama, picture of Jesus, maybe Martin Luther King.
Does your mom have
or Beyonce? Yes.
She doesn't have Beyonce.
She got Obama. You gotta have one of the three. You gotta have something.
She does have Obama.
As soon as you walk in the house. But yeah, all this babbling, because this is hopefully the last one of this week. We're recording this. I hope nobody else. Chris Cornell.
Oh God.
That's my guy, man. I fucks with Chris Cornell. I was like Soundgarden, Temple of the Dog, By Itself, Audio Slave, every incarnation of Chris Cornell. I went out of my fucking way to see live. Except Temple of the Dog. I'm not that old. Age stopped me from Temple of the Dog.
Okay, I got you. I have no idea what that is, but I got you.
However, every other incarnation I've seen live, but I do own the albums. And I rocks with Chris Cornell. Mm-hmm. And Chris Cornell passed in Detroit. I was there at the last show. And it's just sad. It fucks with me.
Because it's not like he died
of
natural causes. He took his own life.
We don't know yet.
They confirmed.
Not only did he commit suicide, they say it was drug induced because he was taking life.
He was taking Ativan.
Yeah, Ativan. But that doesn't mean.
Is it Ativan or something?
Yeah, Ativan.
It's like a sleep.
But it's still fucked up.
Not a sleep aid, it's an anti-anxiety drug.
It's still fucked up that it happened. Man.
Yeah, they were just saying he was on the phone with his wife. Even, and he was telling her he was just tired. I'm so tired. And
let's make it personal. Remember how fucking hype I was when I told you I was going to that show.
I remember
you were just like, yeah, I don't get it. Go have a good time.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I watched that show, like, and I loved it. And on top of that, podcast alumni ran into the Elsie Banks. It was a good time, man, because the Pretty Reckless was there. She's schooling me on Pretty Reckless. She didn't know too much about Soundgarden. I'm schooling on Soundgarden. We were having a good time. Elsie, what's up, girl?
Were you on a date with her?
Not on a date, but it was just kind of like a, hey, I bumped into her. She was out with her folks, and Mike. I just remembered his name. Mike And we chopped it up a little bit. We talked about her video came out, and I told her I was super proud of her, which I am.
Okay.
And like she was like, she kind of returned the favor, like, Sam, you're still doing your thing. Then we start talking about the concert, and we were just like, man, she's like, well, bro, yeah, like, Chris Cornell was a fucking legend, man. Soundgarden. I have never seen a Soundgarden show. I've seen Chris Cornell in every iteration, but I've never seen it in Soundgarden. And my man did pretty much 6 albums. All the he took a couple songs from all the albums of Soundgarden, and I was cool with that. And I saw him when he did Audioslave, and then he did Fell on Black Days, and it was like roughly 5,000 people in that audience, and I felt like I was by myself in there because that was my jam.
Well, I'm gonna take this time to make a PSA.
Hold on, hear me out. Hear me out, man. Like, look.
Okay.
Mental health and all that stuff. That's important.
You know what I'm about to say.
No, I want to make. I can't stress this. It pissed me off. He's 4 for 5 of the grunge era lead singers. No more Cobain. No more Chris Cornell. No more Layne Staley. And unfortunately, leader of Stone Temple Pilots, Scott Weiland.
Was here and then he passed away.
Recorded the episode with Dakota Starr.
Yeah, because he was leaving. Did he die on the tour bus?
Died on the tour bus, and I told him, dude, you gotta see him live. You gotta see him. Like, please go back to the Dakota Starr episode. Because I raved about how important it is to see your folks when they still here.
Mm-hmm.
And Dakota Starr is a huge. Dakota Starr is highly influenced. And I fucks with New Day Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen him live, and I've seen Stone Temple Pilots. He is, at best, highly influenced by Scott Weiland. Just their style, their presence, the whole shit. And I'm not talking out of school. He said it himself. And look, here's what we're gonna do. You got your PSA.
I do have my PSA, and I'm gonna make my PSA.
But there's only one person left of the big five of the grunge scene. Go do your PSA. Go ahead.
Well, here we go. My PSA is, for one, when you see somebody famous and all of that stuff, I know it looks like they have a lot going on, and they have they should be happy because of the position they in. But a lot of times, people are so broken on the inside, it never shows on the outside. People are so depressed. As happy as Robin Williams appeared to be, would you have ever guessed that man was depressed?
Mm-mm.
Not. So my point is, depression is real. Black people and white people, mainly black people.
Okay.
Depression is real. It's not a joke. It's not something that can be cured overnight.
This ain't no get happy shit. I see what you're saying.
It is real. Mental health is real. Mental health is important. Your mental health is just as important as your physical health. So, if you are going through something and you got some thoughts, I don't know the suicide hotline number, but you need to talk to somebody. People get upset when they see their favorite celebrity out and they won't take a picture with them or they won't acknowledge. People deserve their space. And they're people too. You want your space. So mental health is important. Keep that in mind. Go get you some checkup. If you need to talk to a therapist, talk to a therapist, a pastor, whoever. Talk to somebody.
Now, here's one thing about this that guided me a little bit because
I wish I had the suicide prevention hotline number.
You got it.
I can look it
up. Yeah, I would Google it while I say it because I'm long-winded. One thing about this, because I got beat up about it.
Mm-hmm.
They was like, why do you give a shit? People was like, you just a singer. What people don't understand is, the reason it's not just celebrity culture as a whole, and yeah, America, we got a little taste of that. But the deal is, especially when it comes down to singers or entertainers, you share moments with those people.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of Chris Cornell's songs is about overcoming darkness, about overcoming bad shit. So, like, Fell on Black Days, that is a song about having loosely having bad days.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to listen to that song when I had a bad day, and it got me out of bad days.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have those, and you see somebody, in, I understand the irony that the person who sung these songs ended in the way he ended. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All right, look.
I have that number pulled up. So
you want, go ahead, please.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Again, the number is 1-800-273-8255. If you need to talk to somebody, call them. They're there 24 hours a day to talk to you. Before you think about taking your own life, talk All right. to somebody.
All right, so let's do this.
PSA done.
Look, I didn't tell you about this.
What?
We got to get back to the funny because Nas is getting
depressing.
I know, because we just talked about like three dead guys in a row. But here's what we're going to do.
I am so for mental health.
No, here's what you don't know. Here's what you don't know.
Okay.
Now, I used all of my quote-unquote, and I'm using air quotes, celebrity. And like I said, there's only one man standing of the big five.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the line now. It's pre-recorded a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, I talk about it, the only man standing, Mr. Eddie Vedder, is calling in. I want to check in on him because he's the last of the big five.
No.
Eddie, is you here? Eddie? Hey, Eddie, if you can hear my voice, just tell me a little bit about how you're feeling about this. You're the last of the big five. Eddie, we're just checking on you, man. Of the last big five of the grunge era, man. Eddie, what do you have to say?
Is this really Eddie?
Hey, Eddie. Well, he just hung up the phone after that. I don't know where that would come from. It was like, hey, that was a little quick call from Eddie Vedder. Who's we just got to check in on him. He's still alive. Everything's all good. So speaking of a real phone call, it's my girl Salima. We'll shake this shit off. We'll talk about the movie Bad Rap, hitting VOD this Tuesday, the 23rd. Bad Rap. Hold on, Salima. Here you go. Is this her?
Hello, Salima.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, thanks for letting us talk to you. I know you're a busy person about the movie Bad Rap. And
thank you for having me, man. Much appreciated.
Hey, look, I watched that movie. It was such a cool
movie. Oh, you saw it?
Oh, yeah.
Where did you see it?
I got the screener. And I got
a hookup.
Yeah. Some back channels. But I gotta say,
okay, I'm glad that you saw it.
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool.
And what better way to see it and then talk to you about it? I'm trying to do this without giving too many spoilers in the movie.
Sure.
Because we want you know, the people to see it and judge for themselves, but
yeah.
You directed a hell of a movie.
Oh, thank you.
And one thing we want to say about this movie is that how did you just jump into this subset of hip hop? Because when I think of hip hop, Asian rappers ain't the first thing on my list.
Oh wait, who was? Who did you say?
I said just Asian rappers in general. When I think of hip hop,
yeah.
I'm not starting there.
Mm-hmm. So that's funny because I'll tell you how it started. I was at Columbia doing my thesis, my documentary thesis for my master's. And I was coming up with ideas, and at the time, I was really big into K-pop, which is Korean pop.
Oh, look at you!
Right. But the thing is, I grew up in a family where, like, we used to listen to some weird shit. Like, we used to have Bollywood, you know, playing all the time. You know, my father grew up in Sierra Leone, where when he was younger, all the movies were just like the Indian movies that he would go to with his buddies, cut school and go watch the Indian movies. So like I was just like always exposed to different kinds of stuff and African music and reggae and just a bunch of stuff.
That's what's up.
So,
hey, I know the struggle.
Yeah.
I had to put my friends on Super Junior myself, so I know a thing or two.
Okay, I see you. Okay, so you know about Super Junior.
Super
right?
Junior, Big
okay.
Bang, Teen
yes.
Top, Miss A.
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, see, I didn't know. If you would have told me, I would have prepared a little bit more. But okay, so now that you say that, you talked about Big Bang, right? And Big Bang is this sort of like pop, hip-hop, Mm-hmm. And at the time that I was at Columbia, it was about 2012, I was reading Double XL, the magazine, and one of the artists from Big Bang, his name is G-Dragon. G-Dragon, who's one of the rappers slash singers in the group, was in Double XL. And I'm thinking, why is this K-pop artist in Double XL? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so I looked it up, reached out to the person who interviewed him, and it happened to be this guy named J.K. Cho, who now is my co-producer on the film. And, you know, we're just chopping it up. I'm trying to figure out, how can I do a K-pop movie? Right? And the more that we talk, and J.K., you know, J.K. was born in Korea, moved out here when he was young, and learned a lot of his swag and English from hip-hop, you know? And my experience of hip-hop was different. It was just always there for me. I didn't learn English through hip-hop. It was just always there. And so I didn't even really need to do a lot of due diligence. And so as we were talking, he was just like, he started naming some rappers, and I didn't know who these people were. I was like, yo, I've grown up with hip-hop, but I don't know who Gio is. I don't know who, you know, some of these other guys that he was talking, like Hero One. And after we got off the phone, then I started doing my research. And I was like, has anybody ever done a movie about this? This is hip-hop. There's been so many hip-hop documentaries. Nobody's done a documentary about Asian American artists and Asians in terms of hip-hop. We're talking about style, b-boying, graffiti. They, you know, DJing. They have that on lock. What about the MC part? And so that was where it started.
And I gotta say, like, before I watched the film, I looked around at the staff here, and the only thing we could think of, we were like, Asian rappers. We only came up with three. Out of all of us, we came up with three. It was Jan, Dumbfounded, and Awkwafina.
Yes.
And the reason we came up, and Awkwafina came up, I didn't know Awkwafina through hip hop. I know Awkwafina through Girl Code and had to work backwards.
Yep. I met Awkwafina before she even got on Girl Code. And it's funny because when she first started, and she tells me this in interviews, is she felt like, you know, people looked at her like she was just a gimmick, you know? And people were in her ear sort of telling her that she's this and she's that. And at a certain point, she was like, no, screw that. I'm going to do whatever I want. And once she did that, that's when she started getting those Girl Code roles and she started being more confident. And that's where people saw her. A lot of people didn't even know she had a viral hit called My Badge, you know?
Yeah, I was one of those people.
So, yeah. I'm sorry?
I said I was one of those people until this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, well, let's talk about the rappers. Dumbfounded and Awkwafina is in the movie, as well as Rex Dizzy, Lyrics, as well as a panel of great rappers that you pull from. But I like how you focus on the main four, and those main four come from four very different worlds of hip-hop, just in general, let alone the only thing they really have in common is the fact that they are Asian rappers. What made you want to focus on those four?
That's a great question and a great insight, because that's exactly why we chose those four, is because they were so different in their music and their styles and their approach. You know, one does boom bap, you know, it's really into the Wu-Tang kind of, you know, really lyrical music. One is, you know, very West Coast and laid back. And so they each have a different style. And that was one of the reasons we chose them. The other one was because they were all friends, or they were becoming friends at that time. You know, you could sort of see the seeds of, like, friendship growing with them. So I knew that just technically, as a filmmaker, if Rex Dizzy calls me at 1 in the morning and says, hey, I'm performing at the club tonight, come through, then I know, okay, let me come get my stuff and go to this club, because I know he's not just going to be there. Dumbfounded is probably going to be there. Aquafina is probably going to be there. And a couple other people are probably going to be there. So that was, it was just logical. And it actually just so happened that they each had different kinds of music and were at different points in their career.
I mean, just watching the film, like I say, I'm twisting my words very, and I'm picking them very carefully because I don't want to give any spoilers, but what was one of the most surprising things that you learned while filming? Because you followed these guys, if memory serves me right, you followed all four of them for about 2 years,
mm-hmm.
more or less.
Yep.
So what was one of the more surprising things you learned while filming and just being with them?
Right. A lot of people ask me if the culture was different, right? And I always go, no, the culture wasn't different because I'm part of that same culture. I'm part of the same hip-hop culture, you know what I mean? So it was like, we would go out, we would go to shows, we would, you know, chop it up, we would go eat. Like, there wasn't anything different. I felt like I was at home because, A, we're all the same age, we all have the same issues, and we all loved hip-hop. And hip-hop was almost like that, that thread, right? So I wouldn't say there was anything surprising. However, something that I thought was interesting is that I think because, I don't know if it's because, but although Asian Americans haven't made it big in the mainstream in terms of hip-hop, they have a community of rappers that all of them know each other and help each other and give each other certain resources. Right, and I don't really know how to explain that unless you see it, but if I need to get in touch with somebody, Ted Tung, for example, who is Snoop Dogg's manager and who happens to be Asian American, if I need to get to Ted Tung, I know that I can call up three different people who are rappers, Asian American rappers, because there's a tight-knit community where they know how to get to each other, right, and they give each other, and that's something that, I mean, I don't know if I see with black rappers or even white rappers, you know, because it's almost everybody's in it for themselves. Whereas with this, with Asian American rappers, it's like we're all in this together, so we can get to where we can get that one person who's dope, and then all of us can eat too.
All right. One thing I noticed about this film is that I see a lot of the similarities between black rappers, white rappers, and now Asian rappers. That one of the things is your stereotype. If you're a rapper, black rapper, you got to be streetwise, like an alpha male. You got to be. And one thing I've noticed when you were in that community, one thing about black rappers, I can say, they have a big thing of the, what I like to call the not enoughs. You're not hood enough. You're not black enough. You're not whatever enough. Did you see that while you were filming, or while you were just following that around, that not enough stigma?
Well, one thing I learned was that one of the reasons why it's so hard for us to wrap our brains around the idea of an Asian rapper is because Asians are the antithesis of hip-hop, stereotypically, right? When you, as Americans, when we think of the stereotypes of Asian men specifically, you know, docile, non-confrontational, middle class, smart, nerdy, right? How does that fit into a genre that has been almost stigmatized as, not even stigmatized, but is, first of all, it's rooted in black culture, it is paired with images of poverty, of aggression and confrontation. And how do you fit those two things together that are almost opposite, right? So I think, you know, first of all, that was something I thought was really interesting that I don't know if people really have really thought about why it's hard for them to wrap their minds around an Asian American rapper. Sorry, I don't remember what the second part of your question was.
No, I'm just saying that stigma, that not being enough of something. And I think you answered it pretty clearly with that, because when you do think of Asian rappers, you don't know what to expect, to be quite honest.
Right. And then on top of that, it's like, you're not just going to come into my genre, to hip-hop, and think that you're going to do it. You know, you're not, you know, and that's sort of the, and I think that attitude, I'm not against that attitude. You know what I mean? I'm not against the, oh, you have to work to get where you have to work to get into this. You got to work to get into hip hop and pay your dues. I think every rapper should have to pay their dues. And I think that the rappers in the film acknowledge that there hasn't been that one person. Right? There hasn't been the Eminem of Asian Americans to come through and be twice as good as everybody else and just kill it and be undeniable.
Now
I think that they know that.
We got close with Jen, but they talk about that in the movie as well, because Like when I you know, we were looking for Asian rappers before we even filmed, everyone hands raised. We're like, Jin!
And
we, yeah, and then, well, without spoiling it, they talked about why Jin is a household name, good and bad. Now,
yes. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I got to know that we talk about a lot of the challenges that they go through in this doc, but what were some of the challenges, or one of the main challenges you had while filming this doc?
Oh, that's great. Everything, man. Because I was by myself. And, I mean, it's one thing to have to, you know, I told you, Rex Susan will call me at 1 in the morning, hey, you want to come shoot this? Why aren't you here? I'd be, at 1 in the morning, I would be in the editor working. I wasn't sleeping. And so I had to make the decision. I couldn't say, hey, partner, you know, can you go shoot this while I edit? I had to do it. I was responsible. So everything that looked good or looked bad, I had to take responsibility for. So that pressure is a lot. But aside from that, I think the biggest part, technically, is just sitting down in the edit booth, and you're in there for weeks and weeks, and it turns into months, and it turns into a year, and you're by yourself, and you can't tell if anything makes sense anymore. You can't tell if you're getting across what you want to get across. You can't tell if it's enjoyable. I remember locking the film, being done with it, and feeling like, this is terrible. Oh my, I had all these insecurities. I felt like, you know, this is going to be the first movie about Asian American rappers. It has to be good. You know, here I am, a black girl, telling the story of Asian American rappers. This shit has to be on point. It has to be accurate. It has to be good. It has to just encompass everything. That was a big pressure for me.
Now that the film is out, you've shown it. There's been many screenings. There's been public ones. Now that the dust has settled a little bit, how are people receiving it? Are we talking awards, or are you talking validation in your? I mean, how do you feel now?
You know what? It's done very well. Validation for me was when I first showed the 40-minute version at Columbia to graduate, and people loved it. That was like good for me. You know, I was ready to start on another project, but the demand for can you make it longer and can we make this a thing? It just spoke to the fact that there was something bigger. And so the real, I guess, award or validation for me has been seeing K-pop artists tweet about it and wearing Bad Rap merchandise and people talking about it on Twitter and legitimately having conversations and arguments and debates about Bad Rap and its content, you know, on their Twitter feeds or on Facebook or whatever. Or people saying, fuck these Asian appropriators. And then other people, oh, you know, I like that conversation. Let's get that conversation out there so we can see how people really feel. And then we can talk about it. That, for me, is, I guess, the best reward. But, you know, we've gotten a few awards for the film, which is really cool. It's about to start. It's about to come out. And it'll be streaming. And it'll, you know, that's great. The other stuff for me is the stuff I'll remember.
Okay. Now that you went through this whole process, I gotta ask, what advice do you have for anyone about to jump into their own, out of their comfort zone to do some stuff?
Oh, that's great. One, you can have as many ideas as you want. If you don't execute, it's not gonna get done. It doesn't matter how many ideas you have if you're not executing. So that's the first thing. Ideas don't make you $1 million. Execution makes you $1 million. The second thing is, you're not going to know what you're doing. And while you're in it, you're going to learn. There's nothing that I could say that's going to prepare anybody. You have to just do it. You have to do the execution for you to learn. I'm still going through a lot of crap right now because I didn't know. You know, making a film is, there's pre-production, production, post-production, festivals, this and that distribution. There's so many parts, and you're just not going to know until you go through it, and you're going to mess up. You're going to make big mistakes, but you're not going to die. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you're not
going
to die. It's going to be okay. You're going to learn. That's it.
Okay, you say you're going through a lot. Give me a little taste of what you're going through now, even though.
I'll tell you. Here's an interesting tidbit. Right now, one thing that for some platforms you need to have subtitles. Which, first of all, subtitles cost upwards of $30,000. Just off rip, right? And once when you're doing a hip hop film. And that needs to be subtitled into different languages. Sometimes you can't even get it done right in English. And the reason why is because you have people who are not of the culture. When I say of the culture, I don't mean black. I don't just mean black. I mean people who understand what the word chillin' means. Oh, I'm chillin'. You know, if you have a whole bunch of, you know, people who are not of the culture doing your subtitles or doing your captions, and they can't even understand basic slang. I mean, that means I have to take it for the overhaul and go through the entire film script and say, this means this. Dope. When somebody says dope, that doesn't mean drugs. That means it's cool. You know, what does cool mean? That doesn't mean it's cold. That means it's, you know, then you got to figure out how to explain to them what these words mean. Right.
Okay.
So that's the crap that I'm going through right now, and it's very frustrating. You know, but then there's other things. There's other things like that you don't know. You know, when you export your film, you think you just have the file. If you're going to a festival, you need to pay $2,000 for a DCP, which is a different format that I'd never even heard of. When you're dealing with trying to get your movie sent to different distributors, you got to get a sales agent. Sales agent takes about 12 to 15% of your cut. You know, so you got to be a clearance attorney. A lot of these artists never cleared their sample. So now I got to find out, where does the sample come from? How can I get a release for it? Or do I got to cut it? There's just a lot of stuff that you don't know until you get there, but you'll get through it.
I see. And the second to last question, when it comes out very soon, what do you want the audience to take away from your movie, if anything, if you can just say, hey, just take away this out of all my hard work.
Yeah, right. That's great. I would say that one thing that people resonate the most with and that I love is you know, when we were doing Tribeca, we were having old white guys coming up to us who don't even listen to hip-hop saying how much they loved it, because the movie is not just about hip-hop. This movie is about, you know, wanting to be part of something, wanting to belong to something, and being told that you can't, or being told, okay, cool, but we're going to put all these obstacles in front of you. Now, what do? Do you give up, or do you say, okay, cool, I'm up for that challenge? And so I think that people resonate with that idea of this universal idea of being told you can't do something, or being told you're not going to succeed at something, and then you say, fuck you, I'm going to do it anyway. You know, I think that's what I want people to take away from it, is that, you know, when somebody tells you not to do something, keep doing it. You know, people have told me before. I've had supervisors tell me I'm not worth, you know, I will do like a negotiation for my salary, and I'll have people tell me, do you really think that you're that good? I'll say, yeah, I do. And then they'll hire me, you know, later on. But they try to tell me that I can't. So when somebody tells you you can't do something, you know, that fire that you have within you, that confidence, you know, I think that's what I want people to take away from it.
That's great. And the dreaded question, and I have to ask this, what's next?
Fortunately, I have an answer. Well, the first thing is going through an existential crisis. That's the first thing.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's understandable.
The existential crisis of, you know, about to hit 30 and not sure what you're going to do next. But the other thing is I am writing a narrative. And I'm writing a narrative about black kids. I'm writing a pilot. And I've met a lot of great people who want to help me and who want to tell stories from the perspective of a black woman or a black person. And there are so many stories for us to tell, you know, that haven't even been told in the perspective of a black person, like Insecure or Atlanta or, you know, whatever else these shows where, you know, you have black people feeling like, oh, wow, that's me. I've never seen my experience on television. or I've never seen my experience on the screen, like when Creed came out, and, you know, they used words that I was just like, oh, that's dope. They didn't have to explain that. Because
right,
it wasn't for the people who aren't of the culture. It's for people who understand it, right? So
me and you vibed off K-pop earlier, so I totally understand.
Good. So that's what I'm working on right now. And hopefully I'll be able to share stories about people of color. I am a person of color. I have a perspective. So that's what I'm working on now.
All right. Well, Salima, like I said, the movie Bad Rap is great. It comes out very, very soon. And just thank you for giving us just a little piece of your time just to call into the podcast.
Sam, your podcast is dope. You are a great interview. You are engaging. I love your show, and I love you. Thank you so much for this interview.
Thanks so much, Salima.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was my girl, Salima Karoma. You was strangely silent in that one.
Because it's always hard to have, you're on the phone, and then me trying to talk in the background is always a bit much, so that's why I never say
she
that.
Recognized the, all right, wait. Bad Rap comes out this Tuesday, May 23rd. You can catch this documentary on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and Vudu. VOD release wherever VOD is found. Just Google Bad Rap. Okay.
What?
You was quiet. It was like, because she shout out the team.
She should have.
And quite honestly, she listened to the show. She was just like, I rock with it. She rocks with it. And it was weird because I didn't know. It was like I'm complimenting her, but she's complimenting me. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about, you know, about that K-pop. You know, I got a chance to geek out a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Okay.
Why was I thought you would have jumped in on that, man.
You're already loud and having a taped conversation for the show. It's always difficult to get a word in, so that's why I don't say anything. I just sit here and sip my water.
All right, fair enough, man. But
oh, let me say something. If you all hear me breathing in the microphone, I'm sorry. I'm trying to breathe out of my nostrils. It's very difficult.
Yeah. I didn't want to say nothing, but there was that's not me.
I'm having some sinus issues.
Obviously.
So, and my nose is running. That's why I'm trying to tilt the mic a certain way, so you can't catch me trying to like breathe hard through my mouth.
Didn't want Salima to hear you with sinus problems?
I'm having some post-nasal drips issues. Drip issues. Yeah. So, yeah.
Got me over here coughing. Whatever you got, I'm starting to get.
It's the weather.
Yeah, welcome to Michigan, man.
It was almost 90 degrees.
Yesterday.
And now we're back to the refrigerated Frigidaire.
Yeah.
That we know to be Michigan.
Hey, welcome to Michigan, man.
I've been living here all my life.
Move somewhere else.
I've been trying to do that. You're not down.
All right. We got some hot takes. Just one hot take.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, this is news, but we call them hot takes because you can only have a hot take on this. You hear about this in the news? There's a man suing his date for texting during the movie Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Petty.
Did you hear about that?
I did.
He
wanted the money for the dinner and the movie back, right?
Yes!
Okay, I would, instead of you suing me, just ask for your money back.
He wasn't getting it. That's the thing. So since she was, look.
So you're going to take all of $100.
Yeah, it's the principle of the thing.
Court.
It's the principle.
Can I unplug?
No, you're good.
Okay, but yeah.
It's the principle.
Are you gonna
like? Look, here we are.
You gotta pay court fees and all that stuff.
It's so worth it.
This
guy is my hero. What's his name? It's Brandon Vismer from Texas.
This used to be my job, Sam.
Oh, would you like to read this? Because you chilling. You and your bad breathing.
All right, when we read this, here
go
we go.
Ahead.
Texting during a movie is rude. That's what it says.
It is.
Brandon Vesmar from Texas is taking a stance on the issue by suing his Bumble date, strike one, after she used
her
phone.
We'll put a pin on Bumble. We'll put a pin on Bumble.
The Austin American Statesman reported that Vesmar filed a small court claim for $17.31. the price of a 3D showing of Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Real talk.
It was kind of a first date from hell, he told a local paper. The 36-year-old said that his date was on her phone at least 10 to 20 minutes. I'm sorry, at least 10 to 20 times in 15 minutes to
been
read
there.
And send messages. No, she was picking her next bumble date.
Hold on, wait. Keep reading.
According to Vesmer, he told her she should text outside. So she left and took the car in which they both arrived.
Yeah.
Vesmer.
Why are you laughing?
No, try not to.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Vesmer claimed he tried to text and call his date before the matter of before taking the matter to court. He also
tried
a screenshot once his date sent a statement to KVU anonymously to say that while she felt bad that his feelings were hurt, she chose to leave because it made her feel unsafe.
Unsafe!
Okay, this is from her. His behavior made me feel extremely uncomfortable, and I felt I needed to remove myself from the situation for my own safety. He didn't even have a car. Picked him up.
Hold on. I could fight for my man on this one.
All right, the statement read, he has escalated the situation far past what any mentally healthy person would.
No, he didn't.
The woman also told the statesman that she planned to file a protective order against Vesmer because he contacted her little sister to get the money for the movie ticket, which Vesmer denies doing. He told HuffPost his messages to her family never mentioned money. You just met this girl on Bumble.
He only requested
that she contact him.
Mm-hmm.
The woman told the statesman that Vesmer's suit is crazy.
It is.
In her words, it wasn't a big deal. I had my phone.
Can you give him the $17? Sorry.
I will give.
Hold on. Wait. Keep going. I'm sorry. I'm such a fan of my man.
Okay. The woman told the statesman that Vesmer's suit is crazy. In her words, it wasn't a big deal. I had my phone low. I wasn't bothering anyone, she said, telling the outlet she was messaging a friend having a relationship trouble. It wasn't like constant texting. In this claim, Vesmer states that while damages sought are modest, the principle is more important as defendant's behavior is a threat to civilized society.
Boom.
Like a nut. He told HuffPost that he tried to be a perfect gentleman, quote, by asking his date to stop.
Boom.
And is sorry that she feels uncomfortable. In his eyes, the issue is straightforward about selfish behavior. If she contacted me and said, here, take the money, this would be over. She has not, Vesmer said. Judging from his Twitter feed, he seems to be enjoying the attention he's receiving. Even if it hasn't come from his date. Movie theater attendance has been declining, with 2016 being the worst year for movie sales in nearly 100 years. Vanity Fair reported this last summer. Simply based on the reaction to Vesmer's claim, part of that decline may be due to the price of tickets, nearly $20.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that someone else may ruin the experience, even the Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn jumped in to the outrage, declaring she deserves jail time.
My man, James Gunn. All right, look.
I'm giving you
Go ahead. I want you to go because I've rocked
Here's
my man.
Here's my thing. Okay.
What's his name, Brandon?
Mr.
Yeah, Brandon Vesmer. I rocks with him. Hey,
he sounds like a nut.
Bullshit. I rocks with him.
Now, let me give my point of view to this whole situation. Yes, it is rude to text in the movie theater. It's highly rude. They tell you several times to turn your phone off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even put it on vibrate. Turn it on, because even vibrate is rude, because we can hear your phone vibrate. Fine and dandy. Anytime we go in a movie, I put my phone on silent. I also put my phone in a certain place so I can reach and get it if I need to get it, because people steal. And if you steal my phone, I'll punch you in the face.
All valid.
Now, she could have told him, hey, my friend is having some issues. I need to tend to her, so I'm going to step out of the theater. Is that okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, he seems aggressive.
Mm-mm.
He does.
It's principle, man.
It is, but I'm saying, like,
a blow.
he does seem a bit aggressive. And then he's saying, like, well, she left in the car that we both arrived in. No, she left in her car that she picked you up and drove
you
in.
Okay, let me break something down.
You bum?
I'm ready. Oh, name calling. Name calling.
No, that's stupid.
Excuse me.
I promise you.
I would like to jump in.
If I was her, I would give him a 50. Just don't talk. Just don't contact me again.
That's all he wants. He just wants his cash.
But I understand that he wants his money.
Because you...
And those... The woes of online dating...
Tell me when you're ready.
Stop talking so I get a word in, please? The woes of online dating. It's like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get.
Oh, you know what you're going to get.
But...
Because... I'm sorry.
However, it was rude if she did pick her phone up that many times because she could have excused herself. However... Dude, are you really hurting over $17?
Yeah.
I know it's the principle, so you say, but are you hurting over $17? Chalk this up. Go somewhere. In public, the person is talking about her using her phone, and you used your phone to make the date. Come on.
Tell me when you're ready.
He used his phone to make the date.
Tell me you want
so me you're
in.
Talking about society woes and people using their phones. Bumble is an app, is it not? Bumble not an app?
Yeah.
So you had to download this app to get this date with this chick. How about you take your own advice and go out and meet somebody instead of going on Bumble, Tinder,
Friendr,
bullcrap apps?
Tell me when you want me to jump in.
Because you're not going to let me talk because you keep
I'm so hype about this.
You're not going to let me talk. Every time I say a sentence,
I'm so hype about this because this is that shit.
Who are you yelling at?
Just every female I've ever been in a situation where, you included.
Not me.
All right, let's break it down. You said the app. I'm glad you brought up the app.
He made this date.
Are you familiar with Bumble?
I'm not.
I am.
Because we're married. Why would I be familiar with a dating app?
I just asked a yes or no question. See, the cool thing about Bumble is, Bumble is an app specifically for women to make the first move. So
I'm about to download it right now.
Go ahead. I want you to. Because it's... remember that shit I used to say to you? I'm sorry. I'm making it personal. But I need to bring you in close. And then bring it
out. You know
out.
What? I'm going to do one better. I want to see how he look.
All right. Okay. Remember...
What's his name?
It was Brandon Besmer.
Okay.
All right. Remember that thing I said to you? Pick me up in the bar? Remember how I used to joke about you? Can you pick me up? Because when guys go out, they got to be trained seals. They got to...
I wasn't expecting him to look like this.
He's a good-looking guy.
He's not bad-looking.
He's a good-looking... Hold on. Hear me out, though. He's a good-looking dude. I'm looking at the screen right now. But when...
He looks like...
No. You're not going to female your way out of this
one. He looks like Jeremy Piven.
He's a good dude.
He looks like Jeremy Piven is fine to me.
No, I rocks with him.
He looks like Jeremy Piven.
Here's why I rocks with him. Bumble is an app that requires you to make the first move. Females. So this lady saw whatever the hell you see it in my man before he did all of this. See, you pulled this picture up thinking he was going to be a goddamn troll. And he wasn't.
I thought he was going to be fat.
No, here's what happened.
Bum.
Here's what happened.
He fine, though.
He's a good-looking dude. He's trying to say what's up. And you on your phone every 2 seconds. And my friend is in trouble. You know what? Go fuck your friend, man. You just wasting my time. Give me my money back.
Charlamagne gave him donkey the other day.
Charlamagne could, but I rocks with him.
I like Charlamagne.
I do like Charlamagne, but my whole point of it is you suing this girl $17. She's addicted to her phone. Yeah, take the hit. That's what you saying? But Bumble is an app. You sought me out. That's the deal with Bumble. That's the deal with Bumble. Females, you sought me out.
I'm not, for the record, anybody who thinks I'm trying to pick up somebody, I'm not. I just want to see how this
goes. All right. You got to make the first move. Remember how I used to say to you, try to pick me up in a bar? That's all Bumble is. So if you about yourself, it's you misindependent. You a lady, you a cosmopolitan, was it metropolitan woman
and all? Did you know it was a dating app for the plus size woman?
No, you're not gonna change subject on this. No.
Where was this at?
Rule 52, man. Rule 52. If it's on the internet, if you can think it, it's on the internet.
Where was this at?
Then my man, he wanted $17. Then the woman saying it's not a big deal. It's not that. No. It's not a big deal because you own the thing. You own the charge. Ooh. It's not a big deal when you at fault. Mm-hmm. So you on your phone the entire time. I can see when my man would be annoyed. You just wasted my time. So give me my money back for this movie. Now, he didn't bitch about her driving off. If you notice in this article, he didn't bitch about that. He bitched about getting his...
He did.
He took the hit for her driving off.
I'm pretty sure he got an Uber or whatever back.
Yeah, however he got home.
But, yeah, he did mention the fact that she drove off. Yeah.
But the thing was the money, the $17 that he spent on his girl who texted her friend the entire time. And as a person who's been on that side of a date, that shit is annoying.
But see, back when you were in the dating world,
it wasn't as prevalent.
Phones were not as nice as they are now.
That strengthens my point.
So when we started dating, we had what they called at the time texting phones.
But my point is this.
I was making a point.
I see what you're saying.
So
that makes it more annoying. You're helping me.
The most that happened when we were dating was text. But me and you talked to each other so much that we were kind of texting each other. So it was like, but on a date, at that time when we were dating, I'm just saying the difference of dating then and dating now.
All right.
I'm making a point. Mm-hmm. When we were dating, we really didn't have our phones in front of our faces all the time because they weren't as entertaining as they are now.
Okay, so let's put it this way. If me and you went out somewhere, let's say me and you went out to go see Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I hope we do soon.
Let's say we do, right? We do. And every time you open your mouth, my face is in my phone. You feel some type of way,
right? I would feel some type of way because, A, you're a comic book person. I would expect you to be more into it than I would.
Okay, but now that you know that, right? Mm-hmm. You feel some type of way about it. That's a yes or no question.
I would.
Imagine if that was your first date. So I'm with him on that. Give me my fucking $17 back because you just wasted my time.
But honestly,
you sought me out. You sought me out on Bumble. You sought me out. You got me.
My message.
I didn't go get you. You got me.
What's her name?
We gotta go back to that page. Hold on, we did so much. We gotta go back to that page.
I'm gonna find her name in here.
I'm with him on this, man.
Clear.
That's a hot take.
They don't really say her name.
They don't say her name.
Yeah.
You notice how they talk about him.
That Mr. Vesmar took on a date.
No, I rock with him.
Girl, just get him the money. I would have just... Here.
But do you understand the whole point? I love his point.
You know what I would do? I would say, what's your PayPal link?
Here's my $20. Here's my $17, whatever. I'm with that. But here go the shit with her.
She has to take responsibility and say that.
You wasted his time.
A lot of chicks think like dudes being aggressive. And like he's a hot guy. Honestly, he is.
You wasted his time, man.
Stop talking. No. So at some point you have to say like you have to take responsibility for the role that you played in it because it is rude. It's not only rude to your date, it's rude to the whole freaking movie theater.
Boom. James Gunn, the director of the movie, jumped in. If he jumped in, come on, dog.
But yeah, like I told you, they give you specific instructions every turn theater shit you off. Go in. Put your phone. Don't even put it on vibrate because we can hear that too.
And if I'm...
So, you're not only disrespecting...
Your date.
The fact that I'm taking...
Whoever's around you, you can see that fucking light. Movie,
you're disrespecting everybody. And if you need to use your phone that bad, there are seats all outside the theater. You can go outside, handle the business you got to handle. Say, I apologize. My friend had a little crisis. She needs
me. But that... Even in that, he said... He suggested you go outside.
And that goes back, like, I feel like he's being petty, but I understand
he's
why.
He's driving a point home.
He's being petty.
Yeah.
He's being super petty.
But
at the same time, chicks have the, they do this bad. They have this, especially because she, I seen her picture. She's beautiful. So she thinks because she's hot,
she can do whatever she wants. She can
do whatever she wants. And she will not be held accountable for it. And it's freaking bullcrap. You still have to treat people how you want to be treated. I think he should just move on with his life.
Yeah, but that's my guy.
I don't think he's hurting for dates.
No, I don't think he's hurting. I think he's making the point.
But in the day and age we live at, our faces are always into a screen. That's just the world we live in now. Things were different when we were dating. Things are totally
barely
different,
like,
now.
Barely.
They make it so easy for you to get some. Now, you don't have to leave the house and you can set up a penis appointment.
But even in his case, it was Bumble, where the ladies got to reach out to the guys. It's like a Sadie's Hawk in the app, if you will. And you just wasted my man time. So, yeah, give my man $17 back. All I'm saying is a hot take.
Young lady, I don't know your name. If I were you, I would just say
$17.
Take responsibility for what you did, because your hotness is not going to get you very far in life. Because there's a reason that you're single now, and you're that old.
Look at you.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, alright.
He's 36. Hey. I'm assuming she's over 30. There's a reason that
the time.
There's a reason
clock.
That you are single.
You give it to the clock. Hey,
you can't be a butthole.
Hey, motherfucker.
And if you came off aggressive, Brandon.
You pushed him.
You shouldn't have came off aggressive to him. You could have stayed at your point and not been aggressive. There's fault on both sides.
I love how you did it.
There's fault on both sides, but she's more at fault, in my opinion. I was saying at first, until I read the full story and to really thought about it, I was kind of on her side, but now I'm on his side because it's rude. It's freaking rude. I love my phone. You know I love my phone.
What's the first thing I ever say to you in the movie? I don't even want to sit next to you.
You don't even want to sit next to me because I talk in the movie. Not that I'm on my phone.
That could be a thing too. I just cut my time.
No, but you know, I don't look at my phone during the movie, correct?
Yeah.
I don't look at my phone during the movie. I turn my phone on silent or do not disturb. And I talk to the theater. I'm black. That's what we do. But I talk to the movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Perpetuated stereotype.
It is.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Look. Yeah, we'll do some overtime this week. Look. We got to do it. You would think everybody would be acting right this week, but they not.
Can I do it?
To sit your ass down.
Sit your butt down.
That's not what it's called.
Sit your ass down. Sit your ass down.
Hey.
Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
And sit your ass down.
This week, we got a few.
What you got? Can I see?
This man. Hold on. Let's just jump right in here. Let's just jump right into sit your ass down.
Please don't say LeVar Ball.
Oh, he has a wing. Yes! He has a wing!
A permanent resident.
In the sit your ass down, but what we gonna do, we'll get to LeVar in a second. We gotta talk about Monique.
I can't.
All right. Monique. Nah, she...
This is tough.
Hollywood is blackballed her, and she called out the names of the people who's blackballing her. Oprah, Tyler Perry, and Lee Daniels. Personally, is blackballing her from doing her thing. She said in the comedy special, Monique, please sit your ass down. Like I said, we said this weeks ago. This is not a rerun. The same reason we said sit your ass down.
I'm going to come to Monique's defense this week.
Really?
Yes. The reason she's mad at Oprah she's 100% right.
I need to hear this.
Okay. She explained via Periscope why she was upset at Oprah. She had did the movie Precious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody knows she talks about she was sexually abused by somebody close to her, which is her older brother.
Okay.
Okay. So, Oprah asked, is it okay if I have your brother on the show, and you know, have you and your brother on the show? She said, well, I won't do it, but you can talk to him if you like. But Oprah got Monique's basically her whole family. And Monique didn't know that, and she didn't say that she was getting her mother, her father, her other brother, and the brother who sexually assaulted her. So that's why Monique is mad at Oprah, because it says that she's being, that she's part of the blackballing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because of that. So, and Oprah could have just said, like, you know, I want to get your mom and dad on. And but when Oprah explained it to Monique, it was only going to be the brother.
All right, the way this was brought up, well, I'm saying
the Tyler Perry thing.
Tyler Perry, Lee Daniels.
And Lee Daniels, it's like, with that, she was working and going back and forth, having to fly and do lunches. When you try, when you're trying to finesse people for an Oscar,
you got to
go to lunches. You got to do all this stuff, but they don't pay you to do these appearances.
You got
to
do the work. You got to do the work. When you get that statue,
are you taking a picture of me?
No.
Okay.
When you get that statue,
yeah, they don't
get that Oscar.
This
that
is
Emmy,
this is pre.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at.
This is during nomination time.
Golden Globes.
So, yeah.
All right, think of it like this. Remember?
I'm not done talking.
Please.
So, basically, she wanted an appearance fee. And because she's, you know, I have to pay out of my pocket to fly to come to these things. I need to be compensated for this. And she's not wrong for asking for that. Is it normal protocol? Probably not. But in some cases, she was asking for a bigger hotel room and this stuff. So she kind of got the label that she was being difficult because she wouldn't play
by the rules
of Hollywood.
Okay, let me break this down. And this is why she needs to sit her ass down. We've already did that with the Jindal shit, with Kylie Jenner.
Jindal?
Yep, both of them.
Kendall Jindal.
The reason I put this, just because you like somebody, don't be that. Don't need to sit their ass down.
Okay.
Because when you on a tour for like Precious or all the shit she was doing, what are they called? We've been on the other side of this. What are they called? What are those tours called?
Press tour. Press junket.
Press junket. Or what's the big word?
Promotional tour. Promotional tour.
If you promoting something,
meaning that you're doing a bunch of free stuff.
There it is. You signed up to it.
You're being paid in movie royalties and all.
And when
stuff.
You get that statue, you get that Oscar, that Emmy, or whatever that promotional tour is for, you're gonna get your money back the other way
by being
in more movies and doing the stuff. It's just
your royalties.
It's the cost of doing business.
Unfortunately,
it is.
You know
what
how
it
much
is.
Gas we drive up going to talk to people.
Yeah,
it's the cost of doing. Business.
It's the cost of doing business. When we talk to people,
well, I get what you're saying. I can't send Salima's production company a bill.
Yeah,
for gas.
And don't get me wrong, we had a good conversation a minute ago with Salima, but I'm not gonna be like, well, my cell phone bill, or well, the gas that took me to go see here, or this person who did this and I stayed at this thing. I can't do that. It's just it's a promotional tour. She got on this podcast and she pushed her because she didn't get paid for that. She took the time out of her schedule to talk to us. So Monique, this is just the cost of doing business. You want to be in these roles? You ain't blackballed. Nobody gonna pay your goddamn ticket. So let me get this straight. The reason you're blackballed is because we're not finna pay for your bullshit? That's just what it is. Look, I love Sam.
We know.
I'm one of the biggest Sam fans I know.
We know.
But if I start pulling the shit she pulled, do you think there's not another loudmouth with a mic in front of him willing to do the shit I'm really to do, that I'm privileged to do, that we get the opportunities to do? We make our money somewhere else. That's just what it is. Cost of doing business. Sorry, Monique, but sit your ass down. Alright, look, this one, this hurt close to home. I need my man Ike Allison Lewis Jr. the 3rd Esquire on a few of these. Sit your ass down, because a lot of these he get credit for. Because me and him was going back and forth on social media. But this one, go to the good folks at the Detroit Pistons. Now, like everybody else, on Monday, I bought the hype. They was talking about it's the Little Caesars Arena. We gonna unveil the new logo. We're going to do all this stuff. They was at Campus Martius. They had the girls dancing. They had all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. All right, if you look at the screen, this is the old Pistols logo, right?
Okay.
The logo that you know and love, the logo, and they replaced it with the new logo.
Okay.
The logo ceremony.
Okay, I'm listening. I'm watching.
Are you looking at the screen?
Yep.
You looking? And we hit the button. This is the new logo.
Okay. They fused the old with the new. I see what they did.
Bullshit. It's the same logo.
Not the same.
It's like.
It's for one.
It's a little bit different.
Coming from a person who does.
Come on, man.
I see the differences in it for one.
I see the differences, but.
They took the new Detroit Pistons font and combined it with the old. They streamlined a lot of stuff.
And it's just this gray in it. Oval. Is it worth.
It's not worth the reveal.
It was worth the reveal.
No.
Half of Detroit. We was in Campus Martius. Fucking Andre Drummond was there. Come on. Sit your ass down. That was not. You could have did that. Just like, hey, this is what we going with. Nah. You put it on the internet. You would have saved yourself a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this. My man has a wing. The sit your ass down wing. LeVar Ball. Surprisingly.
LeVar Golden Tooth Ball.
Surprisingly. I'm on his side on this
one. You don't like my nickname, Golden Tooth?
Oh, Golden. You were being generous. You were being very generous.
Butter chips.
All right, look. Here it is. LeVar, on this, I am on this side. Like, we usually have my man, Ike Allison Lewis Jr. III, Esquire. Mm-hmm. He is the LeVar Ball Whisperer. Last podcast, we went back and forth. He defended the sit your ass down. But that's what I can defend. Kristen Leahy on LeVar Ball, putting words in his mouth, playing the victim, questioning his parenting. Now, look, we tell a lot of jokes.
Christian Laettner, the most hated man
no,
ever.
Leahy.
Leahy, okay.
The lady from,
okay.
Sitting in the back of the room, was it Colin Cowherd show? Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we do about LeVar Ball, we joke a lot about this, about him, mm-hmm. and a lot of his ideas, and I'm like, man, sit your ass down, you're getting a lot of, yeah, I don't know. But one thing I don't never do, I don't question nobody as a parent. Mm-hmm. What you do in your house, whatever you do at your house.
Yeah.
She did that. He goes on the show to talk to Colin Cowherd. I don't even want to call the calls. She's not even the calls. She's like, add in the back. If you see the set, you see how me and you talking to each other. Mm-hmm. She would be on the other side. I gotta turn my back to talk to her. I gotta, like, you see what I'm doing now is mm-hmm. a visual. I understand, but anyone who Googles or seen Colin Cowherd, sure, I have to do this.
Oh,
to even talk to her. He's talking to Colin straight up about the Big Baller Brand, the shoes. Like, he gotta sit your ass down on this podcast about those ugly ass shoes. Mm-hmm. But he's selling some shoes. Colin's like, hey, I mean, shoes you sold. And he's
how many did he sell, by the way?
He never got to that because she's talking to him. He gotta turn around and talk to her. And he made it plain. He knew what he was walking into. And he was like, I don't want to talk to you. You question my parenting. You said I wasn't a good kid. You said my kids are robots to me. You said all of this ill shit. Mm-hmm. And then he said, like, when people say, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, when people say things like that, they get what's coming to them. He's like, are you threatening me? That's what she said. Me and you both know.
That wasn't a threat.
That wasn't a threat. It's karma.
Yeah.
She started twisting his words. That's why he said, I'm afraid of you. I don't want to talk to you. Get away. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to Colin. I'm looking this way.
She was the aggressor.
She was very much the aggressor. Huh. And you started some shit, and now it comes out like he's being a bully. No, he's not being a bully. That's that Charlemagne gave a donkey of the day because that's that Emmett Till shit. Mm-hmm. White woman say something against a big black man. Now he's the bad guy.
Like, oh, he's black.
He's so scary. And I'm looking at this like, I watched it because, look, I talk a lot of shit about LeVar Ball.
Oh, yeah.
And if LeVar Ball came on this podcast, or LeVar Ball didn't want to come on this podcast because of the shit I made jokes and stuff like that, I totally understand and I wouldn't push him. She pushed him. Even on the show. Meanwhile, he's talking to Colin Cowherd. He made it plain. I don't even want to talk to you. If LeVar Ball came on my... And I'm being 100%. Now, I give him shit on a lot of the stuff. The shoes. And I made jokes or whatever. But if I sat down and talked about LeVar Ball, I'm going to talk about my man. I'm not going to talk about... Like, I was very, very, very clear on them shoes. I was very clear. I was like, man, you talking out of your ass. Man, you put a target on your kid. I never said he was a bad parent. But when you talk that shit, my man got to cash checks.
He's the one that got to back it up.
Yeah. My man got to back
even
it up.
Even if he didn't say it.
You know, Lonzo
people,
Ball.
People going to be gunning for Lonzo.
Because of what because your daddy said.
Yeah.
All true. And I think, and I'm willing to believe my man is reasonable enough to at least cop to that. Now, what you feel about your brand is how you feel about your brand. That's some personal shit. Now, I can make fun of it. I can make jokes. You can make jokes about me. And I joke about it. I was like, honestly, I could totally see myself becoming LeVar Ball if my son did some shit. Like his son's. So, I've never questioned his parenting. Not only did this lady, Kristen, call him out on parenting, call him out on what he did. You poked my man, and then I was like, oh, I'm so scared. I'm so this. Now you got this bitch, Jason Whitlock. That's a whole nother thing. He don't need to sit his ass down because Charlamagne pretty much handled it. I know it feels as though I'm like regurgitating what Charlamagne said. Please Google it because I rocks with Charlamagne on this. But dude, sit your ass down. Like, she trying to get fame for being a victim off some shit you caused.
Yeah, she just could
have. You the aggressor.
I'm not saying.
Meanwhile.
And I'm not saying women, you should know your place. That's not what I'm saying.
That's not what he was getting at.
In this instance, you weren't being talked to, so why would you address,
Why would you push the point? Yeah. Like, if he said something to you out of the way, he made it very plain he didn't want to talk to you. And then when she opened her mouth to him, first thing he said, please stay in your lane. I'm talking to Colin. And if you look at the position in the show, she would have to do so much to talk to not just him, anybody. She ain't sitting next to Colin. She's like so far behind where it's just like, you gotta make yourself known. Not to pick on Howard Stern, but remember Howard Stern, how Robin is like in a booth by herself because she do the news. But at least if I'm a guest in that show,
she's a producer.
She is a producer as well as she reads the news. That's what it is. And if I'm a guest in that show, in Howard Stern, if I'm looking forward, I can see both of them. I don't have to turn my back to see one.
It's a clear line of vision.
How I'm looking at you right now, if I was to talk to her. So please, Christian, sit your ass down. Because you trying to start a fight, and now you trying to just gain fame for looking like the victim. Look, this is a sit your ass down. This is the first sit your ass down that I don't really know who to direct it to.
I'm listening.
So I've directed this as general. Rompums. Look, I understand there's a lot going on in this world. You know what? This is not a...
I had this talk with somebody today about the Rompums.
There's a lot of talk going on about this.
No. I'll give you my lady...
Just no.
My lady stance.
Just no.
And please stop calling them rompers. It's not a man romper. It would be considered a jumpsuit. And if you go back... Well, stop.
They're just rompers.
Stop. If you go back to the 70s, men wore them all the time.
Those
you
were
know,
coveralls.
No, I'm talking about leisure suit.
No, a leisure suit was a suit.
No, it's made in the style of leisure suit, but it was a one piece. It was a one piece.
All right, let me break something down.
Let me find one.
There's something called coveralls. Something called jumpers. There's something called overalls. Let me... Romp hems. I'm talking about romp hems.
Cam Newton, I liked his.
Look, here, and that's kind of my point. When you...
I didn't even know it was a romper. I thought it was a two. It's
when
the
you
same.
Come with... The romp hems. Now, I want to make this plain. You are going to sell this using models. You're going to sell this using athletes. They're going to... as my boy Brand VK has said many times, you pay me $1 million to wear something once, I probably wear it once.
What do those men have on?
That is a jumpsuit.
Okay.
Still a jumpsuit.
Okay, now I'm gonna go another route.
Rompers and jumpsuits are two very different things.
Rompers are...
Hold on. Here's my whole thing. Why I'm not a fashionista. I'm not one of these cats.
I know, but I dress you.
But the point is, when you wear a romper, you can wear whatever the hell you want. It's just clothes, if you really want to boil it down. But there's a thing where you can't, like, be masculine. The reason...
Here's a sewing pattern from the 70s. What is that?
That is a romper.
It's the same pattern.
No, hear me out, though. Go ahead. The reason you want guys to wear this is to laugh at them. So, if that's the case... Now, if you looked the part, we talked about models, we talked about these guys. Yeah, these are attractive-looking men, but you're wearing this to laugh at them. At the end of the day, you're wearing this, even in that hipster shit, you're wearing this because I'm not, quote-unquote, supposed to. Why aren't you supposed to? Because it's a woman's garment. It looks very feminine. And why is it? Now, I've seen the posters. There was people of all races wearing it. But now, when I go to social media, it's a lot of black guys wearing it.
Stay gay?
Very.
I don't agree.
Now, I don't want to call it gay. I've seen a lot of masculine gay men. It's feminine.
Like I told someone today, I said there's a difference between wearing booty shorts and wearing a whale style, like a flight suit. You know what a flight suit
God.
Is?
Yes, I know what these things
okay.
are.
Okay, there are men wear flight suits for fashion. If done correctly, it doesn't look gay.
I like how you said that.
Men been doing it for years.
I like how you said that. If done correctly.
I'm not talking about going in my closet and get one of my rompers.
But that's how it's now being
But that's
pushed.
How they're perpetuating it.
Exactly.
And do they research, like I told somebody today, men wore jumpsuits in the 70s.
Once again.
No one said anything.
Once again.
We watched, you remember, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Oh, Ike Turner.
Ike Turner had on 1,000 jumpsuits.
Jumpsuits, not a romper.
He had on one with like a short leg.
Once again,
just saying.
I want to make this plain.
It's how you like.
Can you pull this off? Yes.
Yeah.
There's. All right. Let's make this plain. This is why the Sit Your Ass Down is here. It's very few people who can pull that off.
Mr. Brown wore one.
That I asked a question. These are yes or no questions.
Can people pull it off?
It's a very few.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cam Newton.
That's all I'm getting at.
Cam Newton looks fly. I have no. Even
okay.
Russell Westbrook can pull it off.
Okay. You just named two people who have a history of wearing weird shit.
Okay. People that can pull this off.
This is not a mass marketing thing.
Tall men.
These are yes or no questions. This is not a mass marketing thing, right?
Okay.
So why are you trying to make it one?
I'm not.
That's all I'm getting at. Not you. I'm not saying you.
I'm just come here to let you know that man rompers or man short all jumpsuits, they're cutting the shorts, they didn't just happen yesterday. Men been doing
this. I'm not saying.
I'm not talking to you.
All right.
Dude. I am addressing.
Don't defend the such as that.
I'm addressing the listener. Don't, if you're a guy and you got a jumpsuit or you got a short all situation, don't throw yourself away because somebody's like, oh, that's gay. It's not. Men been doing this since the 70s and probably before that. So,
all right.
My whole thing is just like, I know the trouble I have to go through to pee when I wear a romper.
All right.
It should be easier for y'all, though. That's all.
In the last Sit Your Ass Down this week, surprise, surprise, right back at it, LeVar Ball. Look, I make jokes about this shit, and I guess I can make a joke about this one. And if LeVar Ball doesn't want to fucking talk to me, I would understand. I'm not going to play a victim here, but LeVar Ball, the same goddamn shoes that he wanted a billion dollars to fund. He upped the price to $3 billion. Now sit your ass down. Look, here's, if you want to know why, go back 3 podcasts of why I say this. And just listen to it 3 times. That's why you should have it for $3 billion. But I just want, I got my team. See, here at the Just Talk With Sam podcast, we got a team. And we have United Nations countries whose gross GDP is not $3 billion. Mm-hmm. And you want to sell these ugly ass shoes. So your ugly ass shoes.
How many have you sold?
He didn't. He never got to that because of that damn girl. All right, but your ugly ass shoes. GDP of countries. Those ugly ass shoes is worth more than the country of, in alphabetical order, Afghanistan, $3 billion GDP, right? Mm-hmm. Afghanistan, Angola, Bangladesh, Benin, Wuhan. And I'm only using countries in the UN. I'm pretty sure there's more countries.
Oh, yeah. All
right, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Burkina Faso, Burkadi, Cambodia, the Central African Republic, Chad, Kamungos, the Congo, the whole Congo. These shoes are worth more than the whole Congo. Djibouti. I know, it's just a fun side of that. It's the name of the country, Djibouti. Read it.
Djibouti.
Djibouti.
It's Djibouti.
Djibouti.
Because you don't pronounce the D.
Oh, Djibouti?
Yes.
Yeah, it's worth more than Djibouti. Shoes are booty, but anyway. Ecuador. Ethiopia. These shoes are worth more than the entire country of Ethiopia. Gambia. Ghana. Haiti. These shoes, well, these shoes probably aren't worth more than Haiti. The Lao People Republic. Liberia. These shoes are worth more than Liberia. McGow. Keep in mind, this motherfucker has not played 1 second of NBA basketball. Mali. These shoes are worth more than Mali. Myanmar. Nepal. Rwanda. Samoa. Sierra Leone. Sudan. Uganda. Look, I think I made my point. I'm going to stop reading at this point. These shoes are worth more than these countries. Mm-hmm. Oh, you agree?
No, they're not. I'm just listening. I'm saying, as I'm listening.
He upped the price at $3 billion. These are countries who GDP doesn't produce $3 billion. LeVar Ball, and if you don't want to talk to me, I understand. I'm not going to play a victim here. I would love to have you on this podcast just to talk about this shit because I got to say
it. And I wanted to. And I'm gonna
sit
give him
down.
And I also give him the card to our dentist.
Oh yeah, if nothing else,
yeah,
I'm giving you a couple of these Crest White strips that I have in this house.
I got the gel
if
too,
nothing
and
else,
and I got the light. So
I smoke a
speaking
cigar
of which
with
I
him
need to whiten my teeth.
My man likes to grill. I grill with him. I gotta see this shit. But you are leaving the house with one of these Crest White strips. I don't give a goddamn. But either way, I want to thank, we've run out of time. We did a little overtime. I want to thank my girl, Salima Karoma. Her project, her movie, her baby is called Bad Rap. It's coming on video on demand this Tuesday, May 23rd. You can catch it on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu. I mean, she rocks with the show. I hope she still rocks with the show. We rocks with her. I look forward to all of her new projects. Please hit her up on social media. Please check out Bad Rap on Facebook, Bad Rap Film. You can just go to badrapfilm.com. All the stuff is there. We could be found on social media. Everything related to the podcast can be found at samshownation.com. Myself, I'm on Twitter at samshow11. Facebook and Instagram, Just Talking With Sam. No G in talking, Just Talking With Sam. I think we done this week.
Bye.
The movie's called Bad Rap, badrapfilm.com. See you guys next week.
All right, everybody.